It's no secret the holidays are going to look a little different this year.
For sure. I'm already planning my virtual dinner parties and, of course, caroling sessions.
We may not be able to see everyone we love in person this year, but we can certainly let them know we're thinking of them in the form of memorable and personalized gifts.
Etsy remains the best place to get quality, handmade, and heartfelt gifts for the people in your life, inspired by the things they love.
There's so many choices, and Etsy sellers run the gamut, from home goods and decor to artwork, clothing, and jewelry. And the best part is everything is totally unique, from handmade pieces to one-of-a-kind vintage items.
So Megan, if you wanted to get me a gift, you know I love a nice cheese plate, so naturally I'm eyeing so many of the beautiful handcrafted cheese boards available from a variety of sellers.
And for our Housewives fans out there, there are amazing wine glasses, perfect to pair with your next pour and binge session this holiday season.
Wine and cheese at Shea Eric J. Mack. It'll take my quarantine snacking to the next level.
Etsy is making my holiday shopping so much more special this year, and I cannot wait to see my friends and family open their gifts.
This holiday season, shop Etsy to gift like you mean it. Go to Etsy.com/gifts to shop meaningful gifts for the people you love.
That's Etsy.com/gifts.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
In this week's episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac, the ladies let loose at a dominatrix party in Portugal. As you guys know, I had the pleasure of interviewing the entire cast of RHOP for BravoTV.com's exclusive Season 5 After Show. In the latest installment, the ladies fill us in on everything from the dominatrix party in Portugal, including Karen Huger's pillow fetish. I was lucky enough to ask Karen all about her sex life, to which she replied, "Let your mind run wild." Plus, Ashley Darby reacts to Wendy calling her a snake, and Candace Dillard Bassett explains how shocked and hurt she was by Ashley's decision to write a statement for Monique. Speaking of Monique, does she actually talk trash behind Ashley's back? Also, in our Bravo Insider clip, which is available exclusively at BravoTV.com, the ladies react to Ashley and Michael Darby's sexually fluid marriage, with Giselle saying, "I just didn't think she was going to share that with the group." Remember, some of the voices you'll hear beyond the cast are Potomac producers and Daily Dish podcast guests. That's RHOP executive producer Kamar Basaraj and Bravo's VP of current production, Josh Brown, a.k.a. the people who know all the secrets. Let's take a listen. Candace, this is when you find out that Ashley has provided a statement for Monique.
I want you to hear this from me versus like seeing it. So Monique did ask me to write a statement.
I think I was hurt first and then I was shocked because I honestly thought that myself and Ashley were moving into a functioning space, a positive space after having a lot of drama and contention for a long time.
I wasn't nervous to tell Candace about writing the statement, but I knew that I would have to defend myself to the group. And it's not always a good feeling to know that you're gonna have to, you know, like defend your actions and justify yourself to other people when you feel like you did the right thing and you feel strong in what you did and your convictions.
Well, first of all, I thought it was very brave of Ashley to tell her in front of the group, okay, that she had done that, she wanted to be transparent. I thought it was the right thing to do. Because it was going to come out. If it made it to court, it was going to come out anyway.
They also just completely excused any and all action that Candace took. You know, so it was like, your actions are being excused. I remember being at that dinner table with that knife. I was full-blown pregnant. And I said that night, I was like, I feel completely uncomfortable here. I did not think that that display of behavior was cute.
Oh, Ashley's pulling a book, you know, a page out of my book, walking in her truth. Yeah, Candace did not receive it well, but I admire Ashley for being honest about it.
There's something about knowing that someone has done something that's incredibly f***ed up. And that person smiling in your face for some time and acting as if everything is all hunky-dory and great. And then to know, yeah, I was f***ing with you. I tried to f*** you up. And surprise, I'm just now telling you. There's something about that kind of hurt that just like, that hits differently. Because it's like, damn. Like, I thought we were good. And then, of course, she says, you know, I talked to my lawyer, and my lawyer said that it wouldn't hurt you. I just didn't want Monique to go to jail because she was really scared. Yeah, the bitch should be scared. She should be scared. And it's not your place to intervene, especially because your ass and your forehead were not present for the bullshit. You weren't there.
Robin, you bring up the fact that Ashley said the statement now means that her and Candace are even.
But Ashley, you also said that you wrote this statement kind of as revenge towards Candace.
I didn't use the word revenge.
Well, you said now you're even.
Ooh. I think she felt obligated to write the statement because Monique probably guilted her into it, or, you know, sold her a good story, whatever.
That's what she doesn't get. She just is, it's all about Monique. If it ain't about Monique, it ain't right. It's Monique, Monique, Monique.
So I don't think she initially went in with it and was like, yeah, I'm gonna write this statement because I'm gonna get even with her. But I think telling herself that makes her feel better about writing it.
I think that she had it out for Candace. I was just disappointed, really disappointed.
Yeah. Ashley did it in a vindictive spirit. She did it to get back at me for what she claims I did to her family.
I was actually called as a potential witness.
Oh my God.
Potential. Mike and I were talking at one point in the night, and one of the camera guys walked between us, and that's when he did it.
The cameraman named Chris as a witness. I am not responsible for your husband's exploits. I'm not. I apologize to her because she was hurt for my part in what happened to her, but you're not going to give me that entire satchel. So to say that you did what you did to get back at me, so now we're even, this is what I was told. That's a level of just low down trifling maggots in the dirt that I don't comprehend.
Well, Wendy, as you say, in the moment, that's some snake shit. Some
I realized snake that. Wendy, what's sick?
I said that's some snake shit.
If I'm sitting here saying it to the person, how am I a snake?
How were you able to smile in Candace's face? How were you able to tell Candace, I appreciate where our relationship is? If you were so genuine about appreciating where your relationship is with Candace and you guys having grown, then you could have extended her a courtesy of a phone call. You could simply say, hey, she contacted me for this. I just don't want her to go to jail, and I'm thinking about doing it. The same way Candace pulled her to the side when she was presented with the opportunity and got a text about her husband, Candace could have splattered that in front of everybody in Newburgh at the table. She decided to instead pull her to the side and have a conversation with her when Ashley was presented with the opportunity to be a snake. That's a snake. That's what a snake does.
Does.
When I first heard that, you know, I'm a snake, it bothered me a little bit. And then after I thought about it, I was like, what the hell do I care? A, what do I care what Wendy says about me? She has no idea what's going on. She was never there. She doesn't even really know all of who Candace is. What do I care about this woman's opinion of me?
Once again, Wendy is, you know, injecting herself in a lot of situations very passionately, very vocally, very strong. I don't know that this involved her. And I don't think she means to come off awkward, but she does.
I mean, the thing about snakes is they really only attack when they're provoked. So yes, if I bit, it's because someone poked and prodded at me first. And while it may not have been a recent thing, you know, I'm sure snakes have a little bit of a memory too. And that was my way of getting my vindication. That's a terrible thing to say, but yeah, I guess ultimately that's what it is.
You will not know where you stand with Ashley until she is given the opportunity to sell you like Judas sold Jesus. And she sold Candace. Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna get these facts. However you want them, however you want them, y'all gonna get these facts, okay?
Read. Read them
page
down.
Page by page.
Read them down.
That stuff just paled, you know, let it go. Eventually, she and Candace are gonna fall out too, so just a matter of time.
So let's talk a little bit more about the dominatrix party. Yeah!
I mean, we just wanted to have fun. Like, you know, it's nice to be able to just get together and go on a girls trip and just have fun.
Candace, where did you get the inspiration for this outfit you wore?
Oh, honey.
You mean Ho Holly? That's her name.
Yes. I wear it with pride, honey.
Candace killed it.
Yes.
She killed it.
I'm like, you just have this stuff in your closet? Like,
I put that outfit together for Candy Burris's Welcome to the Dungeon tour. Mm-hmm. It's like a dominatrix show. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, we're going to this thing. I want to have my booty cheeks out. I have to be cute. So I basically just repurposed that whole outfit.
It was all in fun and games. And of course, Karen didn't want to do it. Karen didn't want to come. Karen didn't bring her damn panties. Like, she just was like a buzzkill.
You look like Cruella DeVille. And you look like a whore on the street corner, but I ain't saying nothing about it.
Like, what? This is typical Karen behavior. She deflects. So anytime she feels like someone is saying something about her, she immediately flips it and turns it on them. Like, that is a skill, and she's very good at it. But I'm like, what? Like, she looked like Cruella DeVille. Wear your damn Dalmatians. And frankly, if I looked like a hooker on a street corner, then thank you. I accomplished my goal, because wasn't that the whole theme of the party?
Yes.
Like, what?
And you start talking about this pillow fetish that you have. Can you elaborate a little bit more on this vibrating
pillow? Why? Y'all already got it on tape. Uh-uh. No.
I have the pillow fetish.
What does that mean?
I like the pillows around me, and one in particular is my favorite pillow on my bed.
Is it like a vibrating pillow?
It's
a vibrating pillow.
It is.
Okay.
It's a pillow fetish. You have tons and tons of pillows around you, and that's it. Now, self-explanatory. You let your mind run wild, okay? But yeah, it's a healthy thing to do.
It's very weird, the stuff that Karen chooses to share. And the stuff that she gets defensive about. Okay, Cruella DeVille, like, yeah, you could take that. But you choose to share that you hump a pillow? Like, it makes no sense. Why would she share that?
Girl, bye.
You also confessed that you had not given blowjobs for at least 2.5 years.
Yeah, I retired my mouth. Yes, I said that.
I had a lot on my plate the last 2.5 years, so.
He hasn't gotten a blowjob in 2.5 years?
It wasn't the first thing on my mind.
Poor Ray.
So Karen has, throughout since season one, always talked about her sex life for whatever reason, and it's just not believable. So she probably never gave a blowjob. Like, not just 2 years, but it's probably been 20 years since she gave Ray a blowjob.
And now we know why Ray won't tell her he love her. Like, clearly, you won't even suck the man's penis.
Has that changed since?
No, it has not. Nope. I think my mouth is retired. I said that at the lake house. I retired. Yeah. I'm retired. You know, listen, I am the matriarch. So, yeah, listen, I can give them some wisdom from my past experience. They can take it or leave it. But, yeah, no. I'm retired. I don't have to work that hard. Woo! No.
Candace says that both Monique and Chris have talked badly about you and that they are playing you.
She has talked cash money about you to me, her and her husband.
But what I care about is action and what Monique acted
you care
and what
about
she
strategy.
Did.
And she's playing the dog out of you.
However, more so what's important to me is what you do and say to my face and in the public and how you talk about me. And Monique, as I've said, has been very supportive of my relationship. And in the past, when we were going through our things last year, Monique was the only woman in the group who really had my back.
You have to keep in mind that Candace and her husband spent a lot of time with the Samuels. So Candace can really give you the tea about, you know, who they trash, which, you know, I'm one of those people all the time. They trash the Darbys.
You know, to be fair, I could see Monique and Chris making light jokes about Michael and me. And do I love the thought of it? No. But ultimately, I don't foresee them being anything that would actually try to be harmful.
But Ashley doesn't want to listen to it because she doesn't want to believe it, because then she'll feel really stupid about helping Monique out. And Candace, to her credit, has not even told the world the behind the scenes of the Samuels and the things that they say. Like, she's actually kept their secrets, which is, like, blows my mind, because I didn't told everything. Well, I would have told it anyway, but you know what I'm saying.
She took a lighthearted, joking comment and she went back to the group and she made it seem as if there was a shady, negative tone. I kind of gave her the side eye like, huh, that's interesting, because I've been doing nothing but trying to just kind of get over it and then move forward. And so just a lot of manipulation there. And it's just funny because everything has been spun so that it's the opposite.
That's all fodder to me, but the meat of the matter is when I really needed my friend. She was there for me. So she could have said whatever the hell she wanted about me, but her actions show that she really is my friend.
Do you think any of the other ladies have had a threesome?
No. I don't feel like any of these ladies have ever partaken in a threesome. But do I think they would? The one who I think I could see maybe a little bit is...
To see more of The Real Housewives of Potomac After Show, head to BravoTV.com or check out the link in our description.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at BravoTV.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.